Welcome to the Night Echo Podcast, a show bringing you haunting tales from all over the internet and our very own strange reality. Join me, your host, Louise Knight, as we delve into a variety of myths, urban legends, ghost stories, and true crime. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. I hope you've all been surviving this heat wave. I haven't, so hence the delay in this episode coming out. Sorry about that. Anyways, when I first started my podcast, I remember asking my mom if she had any scary stories to share with me. Her initial reaction was to reply with natural disasters. As she came from the Philippines, she would often experience things such as typhoons. This really puts into perspective the real-life situation that people in natural disaster-prone places have to deal with. And this leads us to today's episode. This actually freaked me out when I first came across it. Something a little bit different than we usually talk about, but horrifying nonetheless. Now, let's delve into the major eruption of Mount St. Helens, why it happened, and the effects it had on the town and its inhabitants. So the actual eruption took place on May 18th of 1980, which was about 41 years ago. It happened in Skamania County, located in Washington State. Mount St. Helens was also known as Luwala Claw to the Klickitat indigenous people, and it translates to the Smoking Mountain, which of course makes sense as this was a known active volcano, though remained dormant for the past century. A series of smaller eruptions on Mount St. Helens would start around March 15th of 1980. By the sixth day, there had been a cluster of more than over 100 earthquakes surrounding the area. This signaled that the magma underground was moving, and moving fast. The U.S. Geological Survey team was sent on site and predicted it would blow, but they just weren't sure as to when it would. And on March 27th, the mountain would emit ash into the air. But this was just a little burp in an otherwise much larger catastrophe. Mount St. Helens was dormant again, as I mentioned, for over a century. It was an old-ass mountain. Over the years, it seemingly began to grow a bulge on the northern side, slowly filling with magma. As its indigenous name indicates, it slowly began to leak a gas seen in the sky as smoke. A state of emergency was called and a red zone was created. Of course, state officials later would be criticized for not extending the zone further and for taking the USGS more seriously. Continuing to track the mountain's activity made the USGS urge officials to evacuate the citizens in the red zone. They were denied. This would lead to horrible consequences for the town residents. There was even one report I read that said one official was warned about the consequences of the volcano, but she didn't want to deal with it at the time as she had a festival to attend. When she came home from the festival, she had found out that it was a little too late and that the worst case scenario was happening, or had happened as she was partying it up. But to be honest, the residents themselves didn't seem too worried and undermined the literal volcano near their homes. There was one story I came across about a family who went to check out the mountain. It was said that the two children in the car were pretending to be news anchors, sharing what was happening and recorded the interaction. One of the children can be heard asking their parents if it was safe to be so close to the mountain. To which, of course, their parents laughed and said that it was fine and that nothing would happen. They, of course, died. Officials and citizens ignorantly thought that they were safe staying exactly where they are. Safe at home. Or so they thought. On May 18th, 1980, an earthquake that Sunday morning caused the bulge of magma on the north face of the mountain to explode, causing the largest recorded landslide. It was so strong, it was compared to that of a hydrogen bomb. The north face of the mountain was now gone. Molten rock mixed with high-pressure gas and steam spewed towards Spirit Lake. Ash was deposited into 11 U.S. states and 2 Canadian provinces. The snow, ice, and several glaciers in the surrounding area formed deadly volcanic mudslides. These mudslides would spread over 80 kilometers or 50 miles, reaching as far as the Columbia River. Now, as I was talking about the citizens, let's look into a specific elderly citizen who did not help the situation whatsoever. Harry R. Truman was a town local campground owner and a retired veteran. He was also known as a prohibition bootlegger and enjoyed eating cow brains for breakfast. He lived in a trailer in the woods near Mount St. Helens. He was interesting, to say the least. He would also go on to lead this sort of rebellion against the government when they finally decided to evacuate those in the red zone. He didn't trust the government, and it didn't seem like there was any reason to pack up his trailer and fuck off if he didn't have any proof that he had to. He became a town hero, hailed for his resilience against the man. A media star sensation. His name was all over town, and he gained a pretty decent backing from the locals. Harry versus Mount St. Helens impending explosion. This made other citizens say, fuck no, to leaving the area. I mean, why should they waste their time if they didn't have any reason to? At least with no good reason to leave. I guess the sulfuric gas emitting from the mountain, along with the several mini earthquakes that happened throughout the year, I mean, it ain't no thing to them, I guess. These citizens really looked at a known active volcano and said, well, all right. Harry R. Truman would later die in the aftermath of the explosion, in his trailer, just like he wanted. The one good thing about this, though, was that volcanic ash is super fucking hot, so he would have died instantly. It takes the brain about 1 minute to process pain, but the volcanic ash would have killed him in a fraction of that time. 2 months prior to the devastating eruption, the USGS would send people to monitor the mountain's activity. This would include Jerry Martin, as well as David Johnston. Jerry Martin was a 46-year-old volunteer who was stationed to monitor the mountain's activity. He was last known to be heard over the radio stating, quote,
gentlemen, the camper and car that's sitting over to the south of me is covered. It's going to hit me, too.
Unquote. That was the last time he was ever seen or heard from. The camper Martin was talking about, I presume, was that of David Johnston's. Johnston was stationed at Coldwater 2, which was closer of a post to the mountain. He was a volcanologist studying lava with the USGS. He dedicated his studies specifically to lava, so of course he would volunteer to monitor the mountain up close. This was once the team realized how rapidly the magma was building. Johnston was a keener and would often wake up early and check the activity 3 times within that hour. On that fateful Sunday morning, reports are unsure whether or not Johnston felt the earthquake that would lead to the North Face's landslide. However, he did see the blast from the mountain. He was actually the first to witness it, and had time to radio over to the team, quote,
Vancouver,
unquote, before he was swept away and covered by volcanic ash. The remains of his trailer were found. However, his body was never recovered after all of these years. 57 people would end up dead as a result of Mount St. Helens eruption. This would include several locals, campers in the woods, Harry R. Truman, Jerry Martin, David Johnston, and several other people who should still be alive today. It is known as the deadliest volcanic eruption in U.S. history to date. So I want to share a real-life fear of mine, and that being from the West Coast and learning about earthquakes in school as a child. I've always been scared of the big one, you know, that big earthquake. And, like, I'm not physically ready for that kind of stress, but maybe it's just an irrational fear, or maybe not. Mount St. Helens is pretty close to the province I live in. It was actually one of the two provinces mentioned that had carried ash over into. At least, I mean, with a ghost or monster, it's like, yeah, I can try and fight you, but a natural disaster? I'm fucked. I'm totally fucked. I can't run, can't even do a pull-up. All I can say is pay attention, don't be ignorant, and always be prepared. Also, don't watch the Final Destination movies if you're paranoid about real-life freak accidents, like me. Anyways, that's all I have for you this week. Take care and stay cool. Bye for now. I'd like to thank you for joining me on this episode. If you like what you heard, it would really mean a lot if you could rate, comment, and share. This show is available on Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Have a story or suggestion you'd like to share? Send me an email at night.echopodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at night.echopodcast. Tune in every other Thursday for a new episode of the Night Echo Podcast.